3, 2, 1. From Rapid City, South Dakota, we go behind the scenes of South Dakota Mines Athletics with interviews and exclusive access. This is Hard Rocker All Access.
My name is Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. I'm here with the first episode of the 2023-24 school year of the Hard Rocker Huddle. My guest today is running back Jalen Fry. Thanks for joining me today, Jalen.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. First episode, huh?
Yeah, for this year, yeah.
Word.
Yeah, you're the premier guest because you're special. That's why.
Thank you.
Just kind of getting into it. I know you're originally from Minnesota, right?
Yep.
What part of Minnesota are you from?
St. Paul, Minnesota. A lot of my family is from Illinois, Chicago area. But I moved here when I was young, or moved to Minnesota when I was young. So I spent a lot more time there. Going back and forth to visit family and whatnot, about every summer was whatnot. Went to high school at Matamidi, if you know that place. It's all right. It's a decent high school. The football was good.
It's a little smaller, right, Matamidi, than some of the other, I guess, areas around there?
Yeah, it's about 8,000 people over there, yeah. And probably less than that go to the high school.
Sure. So did you live in St. Paul when you were going to Matamidi, too, or did you move?
No, I lived in St. Paul when we were over there.
Okay, that's kind of a little bit of a trek.
Just a little bit, but everything in the Twin Cities area is kind of, like, centralized.
Yeah.
Nothing's further than, like, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right? Because, like, here, now 20, 30 minutes feels like forever, but I'm from the cities, too, and 30, 40 minutes there is, like, nothing.
It's nothing.
It's kind of weird how that works. But yeah, growing up, how many siblings did you have, and what initially got you into sports at a young age?
I have been playing sports since I can remember. Just before I even knew any rules or anything, just running around with my mom and my dad outside. They'd always get me like a little mini hoop to play on, or football to catch, like soccer. It just gave me options to try, and football and basketball were the ones that stuck. Growing up, I have four sisters, one adopted, and they're all younger than me. I'm the oldest of the bunch, so they inadvertently taught me patience and just being a good role model. You know, I don't like to be everyone's role model, and I don't feel like I should be. But, you know, just having them around, having them watch me or take my advice, I want to be somewhat of a good role model, someone to take advice from.
Sure. And I bet you had to take a little bit of a protector role at times, too, with them. How close are you in age to some of them?
My oldest sister is 19. And from there we go, oh, man, putting me on the spot. We got 16. 15 and 12.
So when the 19-year-old first started dating and stuff, were you the guy that she had to, hey, I gotta make him pass the brother test?
I wasn't that protective. Life is about experiences, so gotta let them get out and see things on their own, kind of like I did.
Yeah, I'm totally different. I don't know what having a sister's like, because I'm the youngest of three older brothers, so pretty much total opposite of you.
Oh, man. Yes. You're probably the punching bag a little bit, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. I learned to be tough pretty young, yep, for sure.
Right.
You kind of mentioned football and basketball were the ones that stuck. When did you start, I guess, playing them a little bit more competitively?
I started playing organized basketball first, and that was through elementary school. Like up until fifth grade. Then in middle school, I started to play football. One of my uncles, my Uncle Bobby, I got to shout him out. Shout out Uncle Bobby. He brought me out to the football field, like pre-fall camp training, getting ready for the season. And that was over in Chicago, actually, over in one of the parks. That's when I started to like it, kind of get a feel for that new competition. So I started playing football in middle school. Basketball was more recreational at that point. I liked playing with my friends in like a 3v3 league. So we go and just play out those little tournaments around the cities. Then in high school, I decided it was time to let basketball take a back seat. A lot of people was getting taller. I was kind of staying the same height. That helped too. My sophomore year, I actually started my first varsity game in the conference championship. The conference championship. And I played horrible. I had like 4 yards on like 3 attempts. Didn't really do much. Everyone was more aggressive than me, faster. It was a change of pace. And I felt horrible because we lost that game too. And at that moment, I was like, I kind of want to get serious about this. And kept the ball rolling from there.
So you early on, you kind of liked football more. Or was it just that you knew you were smaller and your future was probably better suited for football?
Basketball was definitely my first love. If I was like 6'2", I wouldn't even touch a football. I think just getting a new feel for something else, and then having friends that were also good at the game, and then getting an experience like a conference championship to play and just get your first swing at playing like a varsity game, that kind of fueled that fire at that point, because I wasn't good at it at first.
Yeah, Minnesota doesn't get a whole lot of love for its high school football, but it's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's not like a Texas big deal, but among the Midwestern states, Minnesota has some pretty good football, especially in the last, it's really grown in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years since,
definitely.
Obviously since when you were, so talk a little bit about, you know, what your experience playing was like at Matamidi.
It started off cool. In middle school, I didn't really know many of the people because I was new to the school, so it was kind of a way to try to fit in. In high school, I got a feel for the guys around me that were going to play. We were all coming together at that point. So I was like, okay, I still want to be one of the best. How do I do that? And I didn't really have good practice habits or work ethic like I do now. So my freshman year, I was weak. I wasn't good. My sophomore year, I switched because I was a wide receiver. I switched positions to running back. And I was killing at the B squad level. That's kind of where I found, okay, I can get a feel for running the ball. Junior year, senior year, I started at running back. I had a core group of friends, like they were really good. So we had a really like star-studded class. So we went out, hit the playoffs a couple times. We lost in the conference championship my junior year, and then we made it to state my senior year. We got bumped out like semis by Mankato East. They were pretty good. They had some physical guys, some good talent. So that was my playing experience. The guys were really cool. I still was kind of like not an outsider, but someone that just wasn't like everyone else.
Sure.
So the circle got a little smaller, and I met a good solid group of friends out of there. Not that I talked to a bunch of people from the area still, but we all have those memories of working hard together and holding each other accountable, so that keeps us connected.
Sure. You mentioned some of the good things that happened there. What about some, do you have any like really funny or silly stories that kind of stick out from bus rides or locker room stories from your time in high school that you can share, obviously?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. This may like be on the line of things. For some reason, like the older kids would like pee in their pants, like just as a pregame ritual. I don't know why that felt good or anything. I thought it was just funny and dumb. One day, I wasn't playing. It was my sophomore year, so I was just watching. I decided to drink a bunch of the Gatorades for whatever reason, like 10 of them little cups or more. So by the fourth quarter, I'm dying to go to the bathroom. Like, bro, I gotta go. And then, you know, my friends are like, you can't leave the sideline. Like, we're about to go break the huddle or whatever. It's the game's about to be over. So I'm just trying to wait. People are like poking me, trying to squeeze me, just really, really egging it on. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. And I peed myself right at the end when we're in the big huddle, right at the end of the game. Oh my gosh! And then when I do it, everyone wanna poke fun at that and then make it a joke. So I just got crap for it for a little while. But that's one of them embarrassing/funny stories from that time. Funny.
I appreciate you sharing that. Usually people wouldn't share stuff like that.
Hey, you gotta let it all hang out sometimes.
Yeah. Now, while you were playing at Matamidi, when did you kind of realize that college football was going to be an option for you?
It was my senior year. I had college coaches texting me, calling me, hitting me in the DMs at that time on Twitter. I was going to camps. I was doing well. So my senior year, I knew I was going to play college football somewhere. Even when we lost our last playoff game, like, I didn't cry because I was like, my time isn't over.
You mentioned you went to some camps. Was it mostly smaller camps, or did you kind of travel a little bit for some of them?
Shoot, we were going big time. I went to a big Northwestern university over in Evanston. Sure. Went to their camp. Went to the University of Iowa. Went to their camp. That was sweet. They have a nice stadium. Went to Northern Illinois and Western Illinois. Went to their camps. And then, I think that was it. I don't think I went to any small school camps. And that's an underrated portion that a lot of high school kids overlook, going to those smaller school camps and getting evaluated there, because there's still good coaching at those levels.
Yeah.
I was just kind of naive to it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize it until I kind of started working in sports. Like, the difference between low-level D1 and high-level D2 is not that much.
No.
Right? Like what are you, 5'8"?
5'7".
5'7". If you were 6 foot, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
really...
A lot of the times, that's the difference between a D1, D2 kid,
right,
is the size, the height, the weight, that kind of thing.
Can you pass the eye test a lot of the time?
Yeah. Well, we're glad we got you at the D2 level, obviously.
Much appreciated.
But did you get some interest from any of those bigger D1 schools?
Yeah. But it was more walk-ons.
Sure.
And for me, it seemed like it'd be a cool experience going to those schools. I would just rather be on a scholarship. Rather try my luck that way and not have to be paying off school for years on years on years.
Yeah, for sure. Sure, and eventually you obviously made your way up to Northern Minnesota, Bemidji State. Go Beavers.
Yeah,
What kind of made you make the decision to go up there?
I really got to give credit to the people there. When I went on a visit, they showed me a good time. I really liked the coaching staff. They were pretty straightforward, down to earth. And then the players, they made it feel like family. I met some stars that I was playing against, new in the area. So I was on a visit with some great talent. Brendan Bolio, Brandon Ault, for example, CJ Terry, for example, Jake West, these are names that you're hearing about or you're playing against, and you're like, hey, they're gonna be good. And us meeting on that trip was like, okay, whoa, are you thinking about going here? Like, if we team up, we could do something special. So that combined with a school that was really willing to take a chance on me, really giving me that opportunity to grow and be great in what I do, that's what did it for me.
Yeah, and they, I mean, you mentioned the potential to do something special. You did. I mean, Bemidji State went to the playoffs twice during your time there, first two times ever.
Yep.
What was that kind of like, especially that first experience?
So the first one was a little bittersweet for me. I ruptured my Achilles going into that year, right in May. Right after spring ball, I was just training, trying to get a little faster. At the time, my life was a little hectic, a little fast-paced, and it was an opportunity to slow down. Did I want to slow down? No. So it's like I just went through it, kind of all the games you have circled, all the big-time moments that you wanted to fulfill, they have to take a pause. That hurts. But watching the guys persevere and go through the ups and downs of the season and me still kind of being there, being present, putting effort in it, you know, my eyes and everything into it, it felt good when it was that time and we won the conference championship and had an opportunity to go to the playoffs. That was awesome. You know, regardless of how I felt going through it, that was an experience that'll live on forever. Then I come back that next spring, getting my legs under me. My thing was, I want to win some games. I know I may not be the exact same as I was leaving the game, because I was cold leaving the game. So I knew I had to plug in and do what I needed to do to bring us to that same level, if not better. So that one was cool, because again, we had our ups and downs, yet we had really good leadership from our class and everything, and we were able to do it again and then host our first ever home playoff game.
Yeah, and both years you won too. You won a game. First year you beat Augustana at their brand new stadium.
Oh yeah.
And then next year I can't remember who you beat in the first round.
Winona State.
Okay, Winona State.
Yeah.
And then played Colorado Mines, which is unfortunate. They were a juggernaut that year. So
I didn't get
tough
to play them, so it's actually cool that I ended up here with an opportunity to play
now
them.
Now you got a chance at revenge a little bit.
Yeah. And that 2020, the last one, 2022, we played Angelo State. They were good. I liked going up against them. Some real Texas competition. They show you that there's always bigger fish in the sea. So I'm grateful for the experiences, and I'm trying to get to a point where we have an opportunity to play those guys again down the road.
Yeah, you mentioned how being out was hard, but before you were out, that 2019 year was just an awesome year for you, right? I mean, just looking at this, Don Hanson All-America second team, All Super Region, NSIC North, All Conference First Team, Co-Offensive Player of the Week. What was it like for you to be able to go through that year and see all that success and some of those accolades?
Being at that level, it really showed you being a student athlete is hard, because there's a lot of demand from the football side of it, and you can't forget about your classes and whatnot. You're still trying to stay eligible and achieve at the highest level there too. I battled with some ups and downs. We were on our third string quarterback. We needed to run the ball because our offense was kind of stagnant at some points. Not taken away from what that third string quarterback did. He played well in his own right. We still needed to run the ball, and it was obvious that we were going to run the ball too. So just bringing my best to the film room and staying healthy and bringing my best effort every week, it paid off, and I grew into a leadership role. And man, it's nothing like it when the ball's rolling like that. You get so many carries in a game, and then it's like you can do no wrong. And then you're snapping for like 208 yards, 316 yards, 180 yards, two touchdowns. Like really just being able to do your thing. And I remember that year for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you did a lot of special things, obviously, but it's just, was it the next year, the COVID year, or was the next year the year you were out with injury?
It was the year after the COVID year. We still didn't have a season. We practiced and scrimmaged through that time, and then the 2021 season, I ruptured my Achilles.
Yeah, so you were out basically two full years.
Yeah.
What was that kind of like emotionally, physically? Especially, I'm sure you were so ready to get back on the field before you tore your Achilles.
Yeah, 2020 was an interesting time. I wouldn't say that was the worst of times for me. I was a college student, and I was still able to go to school. I was still able to practice. I was living on my own in some capacity. We were getting, like, stimulus checks and unemployment and stuff. It wasn't the worst thing ever. 2021, that stung because, man, like I said, you got game circles. You got events happening that you want to be a part of. And it kind of brought me to a really low point because there was one point where I felt like my only value was on a field, just producing for Bemidji State. That's when I had to, go out and engage in the community, do other things that I was talented in and find value there. That worked out for me, and it brought me up from that low place. So it was a lot of growing on my end, mentally and physically, because when you see your leg, not even half the size that it was before, and you got to gain it all back, and then once you're fully healed, getting back to the level that you were at, that was a struggle. Well, I'm glad I did it, because, when you're at the beginning of a rehab process like that, you're like, you wake up one day or the next day, I can't do that. But when the months go by, you're going to wish you did, and I am glad I did it. Because I knew I wanted to go 100%. Whatever that 100% looked like, that's where I wanted to be. So I took it seriously, put my head down, and really grew in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I know a lot of that is physical, but obviously there's some mental struggles too. Even when you're back to physically ready to play, it's got to be like, oh, do I really want to cut again? What's going to happen? Just things that you've done thousands of times that all of a sudden it's like a mental barrier. So yeah. How do you kind of get through that?
The help of my teammates, the encouragement, my family, the encouragement, and again, taking that, going hard as you can for not only yourself, but someone else. There were some other people getting injured for a year or longer, and it was like, you can do this. And I wanted to be that person that was like, if I can do this, you can too. So if I didn't want it for myself, I wanted it for someone else. And the mental challenge that went along with that, I was really real with how I was feeling and what I was going through. And, being personable with other people, they could feel that. And it's like, they want to help you with that or encourage you, whatever was needed. So it's tough. But if you want it, be real with that and connect with the chance that you may not be 100%, or you may get hurt somewhere else or something like that. And then you find a good balance and you can keep going.
Sure. And then you eventually were able to play again your last year, 2022. You had some success again. You were an all-conference guy again. What was it like? Was there some validation in that, and being able to come back and have some success and be like, oh, I still kind of have it?
There was, because at the end of that year, just like after our last game, I was reflecting a bit. I didn't feel like an all-conference back. The numbers weren't popping off the page like they were before. I was splitting time with a couple other really good running backs. I felt like, well, if it happens, it happens, but I don't feel it. So I was even real with my teammates then, just in a time when we were just being real with each other. They were like, you have to reflect on the role you had and how willing to share the spotlight you were and still putting in 100% effort every time in the weight room and making sure you were good in the classroom and setting a good example for others. So I had to look back on not just the stats, but the body of work, the effort that it came from my heart and soul. So it was validating.
And then after that year, when did you kind of decide you were going to move on and kind of look at some other schools?
Man. It was, I was kind of toying with that thought. I was toying with that thought in the summer before the season. I was like, I have 2 years left. A, do I want to use that last year? And B, will it be here? Because I was graduating. I put that to the side because I'm like, while I'm here, go all out, do your thing. Then once we lost our last playoff game, it came back like, okay, it's still here. People are going to want to know. You know, you have to think this through. So I figured, I've been in Bemidji about 5+ years now, including the COVID year. It was time for something new. It wasn't personal. It wasn't because I didn't like the program or because things weren't going right for me. I could have stayed at Bemidji and had another successful year. It's something about having that new drive, that having a new hunger, being somewhere else and being able to travel while you can, because I don't have a job yet. Like, I'm in college. So it's like, while you have time to go out and see somewhere else, like, do you take that? I felt like it was time to do that.
And what were some of the other schools, I guess, you considered outside of South Dakota Mines, if any?
Some of the listeners ain't gonna like this. CSU Pueblo, they were reaching out to me. Minnesota State Moorhead, Mankato, and there were just like some interests, just a couple of texts between a few other schools that I don't remember off the top of my head. And then of course South Dakota Mines. I got connected here through a friend, and just meeting the coaching staff and everything, it was cool. I didn't even take a visit here. I felt the energy I wanted to feel. And I knew this might be the place for me.
Did you, no, I know Tavian Tumbleson, one of our coaches, is kind of from that area too. Did you know him before you came here?
Sure did.
How did you kind of know him, and what was it like? I mean, you know him pretty well growing up and stuff, right?
Yeah, that he's the quote-unquote okay. friend. Okay. So we played high school ball together.
Okay.
He was the fullback, and I was the running back.
There you go.
Man, we was tearing Minnesota apart. We had like 3,000 yards combined that senior year of our high school careers. And he got connected here, and he was like, hey, we got a good opportunity. And at first I was like, I don't want to come to a school just because, you know, you here, you connected here. That's not the role I want to do.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about it for a while. Then we visited it a few months down the road, and it's like, all right, well, try to apply. You know, I get in. Well, what kind of majors do you have here? What kind of opportunities do you have to further me in education? And things started to line up. So, again, it might be the place for me.
Things kind of happen for a reason, right? Isn't that kind of crazy? Somebody you knew
right
way back since you were a kid, and crazy how that all works out.
It is really interesting. The world has a way of working.
But after you made the decision to come here, what was it kind of like, or what has it been like, I guess, getting to know some of the guys in the running back room, and what's kind of that process been like getting acclimated to the team?
It's been pretty smooth. The guys have done a really good job of just reaching out to me and making me feel welcome. Even the first day I got here, moved in, a couple of the running backs came over to see me. Like, we met, we went around town just connecting, talking, seeing what's around here. Then, you know, I talked to a couple of the quarterbacks, start learning the playbook, just getting ahead of schedule. The guys made it easier for me to get accustomed. And then, you know, I like to think that I'm Batman, so I go out and venture on my own and see what's out here, kind of map out where I am on my lonesome, and it's been a good process coming around. I like the nature around here. I kind of like the closeness of things around that I need in the city. I like that. That's not what I'm used to.
Sure.
And you know, it created that new hunger, that new interest of being somewhere new.
Sure, it takes you out of your comfort zone a little bit, but kind of in a good way.
Exactly.
Now that you're here, now that you're, you know, we're a week, not even a week until the first game, what's kind of going through your head? What are you hoping to do? What are you hoping to accomplish?
I want to prepare and attack the week the same every week. Whether we're playing the worst team on our schedule or the best team on our schedule. And I want to let that trickle down to the rest of the guys. I know how to win, put together a game plan, and see it through. I know how to do those things. I'm just doing it somewhere else. So I want to make sure the people around me know how to win, know how to execute at a level that will get you down the road in the playoffs. Sure. And it starts this week. Regardless of who I play, I go out and attack them like it's that semifinal championship or that semifinal playoff game. Sure. Kind of just keeping that level of intensity consistent. And then I want to find a good work-life balance because it can get hard just putting your head to the grind every day and every week. So I want to continue to make sure that I'm recovering well, I'm able to find peace and happiness in the area around me, and I want to be able to, you know, check in with my teammates and communicate well, just make sure we all on one accord and we're all working on the same goal, because everyone's goal is not the same at this level. Sure. If you're on this team, you have some type of skin in the game, and you want to win at some level too. So whether this is what you want to keep doing, playing football, or whether this is your last reps, you know, like, let's make it, let's go out with a bang.
Sure. So what are some of your individual goals for on the field this year?
1,000 yards as a running back. That's standard.
Yeah.
Get 1,000 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns. Be at all conference, at least. I know it's my first year, so getting votes will be hard. I want to make him feel like it would be dumb not to put me there. And then make a postseason run. That starts with getting like 8+ wins.
Yeah.
So got to prepare well for everybody.
Yeah. And you've kind of been there before, right? You've seen what it takes to go from, you know, 6 to 7 to then being a playoff team. And we're kind of at that same spot right now. The last 2 years, we won 6, then we won 7. Last year, maybe one of those games goes differently, and we were probably pretty close.
Yeah.
So what is that? What is the difference, you think?
I think it's discipline. It is being coachable, being accountable, and not getting in your feelings when it's time to be critiqued or pressed for more. 'Cause that demand is a lot. Especially for some guys. If you're not ready for it, that can overwhelm you. And not taking a week off. I know there are trap games everywhere and everyone's schedule. And at Bemidji, early on, we were falling for them, like, yearly. So that was one of our problems. And not coming down to another person's level. And then pulling out close games, because there's going to be games where you might only score 10 points. You might only score 6 points. It's still, are you gonna get that win? And if we can answer the bell in those areas, this will be a playoff team too.
All right, you're in your last year right now. This is your last year eligibility.
Last one.
Have you thought about it all? What you're trying to do once you graduate?
While I'm here, I will be getting certified for personal training.
Okay.
Passing the CSCS exam, fingers crossed on that one. I want to take that somewhere. If my body and the game allows, I want to keep playing football, play professional somewhere. There are some good leagues out there playing good ball.
We got a guy playing in Europe right now for the Frankfurt Galaxy.
Really?
Jake Sullivan, former quarterback. Yeah, he was like the league MVP a couple of years ago.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I know one of our alum went over and played for the Frankfurt Galaxy.
Yeah.
Gen Adams.
Yeah.
If you heard of him. He's still doing his thing over in Europe.
Hey, there's some Bemidji guys in the NFL, right? We still got
Gunnar Olszewski.
Yeah,
he's still in the league. That's my guy.
Brian Lenhart was there for a little while.
Yeah.
So you never know.
You never know. So, like I said, my body and the game willing, I'd love to keep playing football. If not, I have other talents that I can use to be successful. Personal training being one that I want to advance on when I get out of school.
Just wrapping up, Valley City State, Friday night. Game's going to be on Midco Sports. What do you guys feel like you have to do to come out and get that first win?
We have to be physical. They're going to be a physical team. They have some good, strong guys on their team, just from watching them. Being locked in on our responsibilities, we don't have to be Superman. We don't have to be above and beyond what we've ever been before. We have to play the whole game. We can't take them lightly. Whether we start taking the lead on them early or even when they walk in, like, we can't underestimate what they have. And I'm confident in what we do. I think if we go out and play our game and again, don't underestimate them, we'll walk out with a win.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jalen.
This was awesome. Thanks for having me.
My name is Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. This has been the Hard Rocker Huddle.
Thank you for listening to the Hard Rocker Huddle with host Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. Follow on Apple and Spotify.